It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I am Stan, the annuity man.
You have a little disjointedness today.
Right.
Only because Adam is remoting in from beautiful downtown Marathon Key.
Nice.
Yeah.
It is. It is beautiful down here. The weather could be better, but the overall, it's really amazing.
Yeah, the Van Wee kids all got together and decided it had been too long since they took a little break, so they all went down to Marathon Key, and what's greeting them but some Greek name storm.
Nice.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Nice. You talk about bad timing. I was talking to Sarah this morning about that. I said, you know, most of us kind of take it for granted that I know technically the season ends November 30th, but really by the time it says November on the calendar, I don't even think about it anymore. We got to think about it this year. And there's some idiot on TV who wanted to be Debbie Downer, I guess, said, we might be looking at a couple more yet this year.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the good news for Jacksonville is pretty obvious. It hasn't impacted us very much. But how would you like to be in New Orleans?
It's just been, 2020, as we all know, has just been bizarre.
Yeah, it'll be the easiest thing to forget once we're capable of forgetting.
Absolutely.
The most desired forget. Anyway, a little bit about our special guest today. Stan the Annuity Man is an old friend of ours and of the show, and we used to work with him periodically at the prior radio engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan is a one-of-a-kind in the annuity business. And by the time the last bell rings on the show today, you will all understand that, I promise you. Because you've never seen anybody in your life working harder to not be successful at his business and still be number one in the country. I'll explain that all as time goes on. But anyway, Stan is here, and anybody with an annuity question or observation, please call in. This is a once in a rare amount of time opportunity to ask a real pro about annuities.
Don't be scared. I'll be nice.
Oh,
this time. I'll be nice.
He only bites the head off of other annuity salespeople.
Exactly.
So if you're one of those, you may want to just listen.
You might want to not call in. That'll be brutal.
That's the way it works. Anyway, all the regulars, thanks for coming back. You know, we do this just because we know you'll be there, and it makes it a lot of fun. If you're new to the show, just tuning in, whether somebody told you about it or if you forgot to turn your radio or whatever it is, stick around for the hour, and I promise you'll not only learn a little something, you'll probably have a pretty good time. There is no topic in the entire world that affects more people than your money. Because let's face it, it says right here, who said that? Yeah, it was Tennessee Williams who said, you can be young without money, but you can't be old without it. I thought that's one of the more brilliant things I've ever seen. Yeah, because you can't just pick up an odd job or something. Anyway, we're going to do the usual market wrap. We will, of course, at the beginning of the next segment, have a trivia question. And other than that, we had a week that wasn't exactly forgettable, but it wasn't exactly not forgettable either. It came out okay. So, Adam, you want to take it away?
Yeah, I don't. Where do I even start this week?
There's Monday.
So much going on. This week is definitely one that I think everyone who lived through it will remember forever. It was such a crazy time in our country, and will be, it looks like, for the next few months, perhaps. It looks like the next president will be Joe Biden, although Trump really outperformed the polling as he predicted that he would. It didn't come to a surprise to us because we were looking at Rasmussen and Trafalgar as the two pollsters who got the last election right, and they were indicating that it was not nearly as big of a spread going into the election as the media would have you believe. They had Biden up by 7 to 13% or something ridiculous.
Yeah, 13 in Wisconsin, it was 21,000 votes, and I don't even consider that one settled yet.
I don't think anything is firmly settled, but it is. Obviously the trend is towards Biden right now, yeah. But this, I don't know when we're going to get a conclusion to all this, but if you had to guess, you would say Biden president, Senate looking red, and House remaining blue, but with less seats for the Democrats.
Smidgen.
Yeah. Yeah, which was a surprise because, of course, everyone was predicting a blue wave, and that did not happen by any stretch of the imagination. So just a really crazy week, and we're seeing the swing states still get counted, and I don't, like I said, I don't even know where to start with this one.
Well, let's review what we did first for a little bit, because we knew all the possible scenarios, and what we decided right. to do was we're going to make some moves in advance of Election Day to pre-position some assets so that they can be redeployed whatever day and under whatever scenario we see. So most people have about 20 to 30% in cash. We weren't going to just sell the whole thing out and cry wolf, because we knew that the worst possible case, you're still going to make money. Because there's going to be a lot of money yeah. spent. I don't care who's there. Huh. But we call it our job. We want to get in the way of all that money that's being spent. That'll be spent over here under this condition, over there under that condition. So what we've done, we have already done, and now we're in a waiting game for the conclusion. And nobody's getting hurt if you're 20 to 30% in cash. Market goes up, you get 70%, goes down, you fail to go down by 30. And, of course, there are other portions of the portfolio that are more downside friendly also. So given that, all right, now what happens besides in the short run, very little?
Yeah, so this outcome, this likely outcome of a Democrat president and then one of the with the Senate staying red, is actually one of the better outcomes that we had in our sort of matrix of potential outcomes. Maybe not the one everyone wanted, but still, we're just looking at from a market perspective, it's probably going to be pretty good. The Democrats do tend to spend heavier, although Republicans have been almost as guilty lately. So there's going to be a lot of money coming out of Washington, and we think that will benefit some big businesses and the economy in general. And so we are definitely going to be poised to capitalize on that. The worst case scenarios did not come true. We put maybe less than a 5% chance on either of those. And so this outcome is really not bad for the economy. We're pretty excited about it. The earnings season is one of the best we've ever seen, and companies continue to raise their forecasts going forward. And so we think that 2021 is going to be a really good year in the market. That's our conclusion out of everything. So the fact that we did lighten up on equities prior to the election is now going to allow us to take advantage of the market conditions that we see evolving once everything is settled, whenever that might be. And we have no idea when that will be.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we had some jobs numbers this month also.
We did.
Wow.
This is a real boom. And the jobs numbers came in at 638,000 jobs created in October. That beat the estimate of 580,000. And the unemployment rate dropped to 6.9%. And hourly wages rose by 0.1%, bringing total wage growth in the last year to up 4.5%. How about that? During a pandemic.
Yeah. Crazy. And you saw productivity up 4.9%? That is a big deal because it tends to temper inflation a little bit, and it gets a lot more people back to work. Although I'm going to talk about inflation today for a couple of different reasons. Have you been to the grocery store lately, people? Because if you haven't, you are not going to be a happy camper the next time you do. All right, we'll wrap up a little more on the market wrap, and then we'll get into the annuity topic right after the break. So don't go anywhere while we pay some bills. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Stanley.
I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Stan the Annuity Man, overstepping my bounds with Adam because I can't see him. He's so far away.
Real easy when you got eyeballs.
I know, man. It's tough.
Now, before we get too serious, you guys are, I assume, having a good time despite the weather, right?
Oh, yeah. And actually, the weather has made the when you're sitting on the porch and it's a little windy and you're not out in the elements, it's really beautiful. It just stinks for boating and going for walks and hikes mm-hmm. and things like that. So it's really not that bad.
Is your place on the water?
It's on a canal.
Oh, yeah. I did see that picture. Okay.
I had a beautiful rainbow off of our balcony yesterday morning.
Cool. And the drive itself to get down to Marathon doesn't look too bad.
No, it was pretty easy. Traffic cooperated, so
well, just remember to, about that. Yeah, remember to get out of there if you need to. It's the important thing.
Yeah, we are going to leave tomorrow. So
yeah, we figured you would. It wasn't the plan, but it's a lot smarter. All right. Anyway, you want to wrap up a little bit on what happened this week in the market, and just I don't even want to speculate what's going to happen next week.
I'm not going to go there either.
No.
Who knows is the answer to that. Really? The there was a couple of other good numbers this week. The ISM manufacturing and services numbers were released, and they both showed solid growth. The growth in manufacturing was a bit better than in services, which is not too surprising considering how the pandemic has been periodically shutting down restaurants and things like that and has limited travel. But the manufacturing number came in at 59.3. That was up from 55.4 the previous month. So a big jump.
Astounding.
Yep. Anything above 50 shows expansion. And the services number came in at 56.6, which was down slightly from 57.8 the previous month. So still solidly in expansion territory, though. And the good news in the equity markets was not just limited to the U.S. International markets also rallied this week. The average gain since Election Day was 2% across various countries, and China was up less than that, which was surprising, but Chile, Russia, and South Africa were all up over 6%. A bunch of European countries also were up higher than the average. So interesting to see that. I think a lot of that has to do with if Biden wins, obviously our stance won't be so tough. It's going to against other countries. We're going to get a little bit of that sort of trade war that Trump was trying to get us back on equal footing with our trade deals, and that will probably all go away. So the global markets kind of celebrated that news just because Trump's a lot tougher than previous and probably future presidents will be on our foreign trading partners.
Yep. In the earnings season, 82% are beating earnings, 75% for revenues, and you don't hear numbers like that ever.
No, those are about, I've said this the last several weeks, but those numbers are about as high as we've ever seen.
Yep. And the guidance is increasing 16% to 3%. And just two other quick things. The number of unemployed people last week fell 1,519,000 from the household survey. And the number of people working in the household survey, which picks up the contract people, the self-employed, that kind of thing, a whopping 2,243,000 people went back to work last month. So, people, if you're not working now, you should be. How's that for easy? All right. I want to, of course, give out the trivia question brought to you as usual by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Now, we know that things have been pretty good here and things have been actually pretty good around the world except for the big dip, but everybody's starting to come back. I want to know at this point, what percentage of our market, the domestic market, what percentage of the world's market assets is it? Is it 10, 80, whatever in between? And I'll take a number that's plus or minus one in case anybody feels like just taking a shot at it. You know, the best thing you can do is give people a bracket. So anyway, let's move on to annuities, or what I call Annuities 101. I can't think of a better way to begin than to say, what are they?
Well, you know, when people always say, and you'll see ads that say, I hate all annuities, that's like saying I hate all restaurants. It's just ridiculous. So there's many different types of annuities. We are now in a demographic tidal wave of 10,000 baby boomers reaching the age of 65 every single day, which means that a lot of them are looking for guarantees. And annuities are not investments. They're contracts. They're transfer of risk contracts and the only product on the planet that can provide a lifetime income stream that you can never outlive, period. So if you say you hate all annuities, then you hate Social Security because guess what? That's the best inflation annuity on the planet. But I have an acronym that I use called PIL. P stands for principal protection, I stands for income for life, L stands for legacy, and the other L is long-term care. That's what annuities contractually solve for. You should never, ever, ever, ever buy an annuity for market growth.
Well, that is unfortunately not the exact line I hear when people are hawking them on television. For
absolutely. I mean, you'll hear with indexed annuities, you'll hear market upside with no downside. Hopefully you're not that stupid. These are CD products that were developed in 1995. I will say this. If you go to my site at theannuityman.com, you can run quotes yourself. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can just punch in the numbers and see the best national quotes in the country. I am licensed in all 50 states. My main office is in Las Vegas, but I live here in Ponte Vedra. So we do not meet with clients. Everything's done virtually over the phone. We pioneered the direct-to-consumer annuity model along 7-8 years ago. We were the first ones to do that. So I truly believe if you're selling annuities for contractual guarantees, which is all I do, I never talk about hypothetical, theoretical, projected, back-tested, hopeful, agent return scenario, pie in the sky, unicorn chasing the butterflies. I don't do that. You're buying a contract, so you have to buy the contractual guarantees, and you always own an annuity for what it will do, not at what it might do. And it really comes down to two questions to decide if you even need an annuity. And those questions are, number one, what do you want the money to contractually do? Underline the word contractually. And number two, when do you want those contractual guarantees to start? From those two answers, I can then pair you up with the right annuity type to find the highest contractual guarantees for your specific situation, quoting all carriers.
And I personally have been involved in this stuff long enough to understand a lot. Plus, Stan has also written a whole series of books on the various types of annuities, and I've read all of those cover to cover, too. So when I hear or read some of this advertising, like 10.1%.
It's garbage.
Annuity return.
Absolute garbage.
Yeah.
It's sales pitch nonsense. You know, I have published 7 books. If you go to my site and give me your shipping address, I'll send them to you for free. And I do have a YouTube channel called Stan the Annuity Man, which I've done 300 videos and continue to shoot those all the time. And I have a podcast called Fun with Annuities. The reason I'm bringing that up is I'm an educator. I am the number one agent in the country, but I educate first. There's never an urgency to buy an annuity. Listen to me. Never. The urgency is to fully understand what you're buying, benefits and limitations. And if someone's talking about upfront bonuses and all kinds of nonsense or yields that sound like Jimmy Carter's back in office, you have to be smarter than that. There are no philanthropists in the annuity business. They have the big buildings for a reason. They sponsor sports stadiums for a reason. And they have the big logos on the plane for a reason. They don't give anything away. And one of the common themes that I hear, misconceptions, and I just heard a person down the hall just said, I bet this is bad for the annuity business. No, it's not.
And I said the same thing.
No, it's not.
As much as
I'm the number one guy in the country. We had a record year. Last year was a record year. We beat it in May. Why? People want guarantees. People want lifetime income. Only 10% of private companies offer pensions. So where do you go for a pension when you have the 401k? What do you do with it? You're going to have to convert that into lifetime income somehow. And annuities are the only product that provide that lifetime income stream.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of the points I wanted to hit. You've touched on them. What about annuities in a ZIRP environment? And ZIRP, for those of you who don't listen all the time, is a zero interest rate environment.
It's a good question. There are some annuity types that are solely dependent upon interest rates. Those would be multi-year guarantee annuities. That's the annuity industry version of a CD. And by the way, currently in Florida, you can get 3% on a 5-year. As compared to the CD. So that's but when it comes down to the zero interest rate environment, when it comes to lifetime income products like immediate annuities, deferred income annuities, qualified longevity annuity contracts, and I've written books on all of those you can get. It's all about life expectancy. Interest rates are a secondary pricing mechanism. Now, you got to say, well, if they were higher, would the payments go up? Absolutely. But you'd have to see the 10-year treasury at the current rate go to, say, 3% for it to really move the needle. It's all about life expectancy, period.
Adam, you've been following the interest rate curve. Where did you say you had to go to hit 1.0?
When I did that at the beginning of October, it was about 18 years to get to 1%.
Now, I don't know of anybody who's going to buy a 1% 18-year CD, do you?
I wouldn't, because you can buy multi-year guarantee annuities, a 2-year for 2%, or a 3-year for 2.4, or a 5-year for 3. Those change. I do have a live feed of those on my site, but you can get a better CD return with an annuity-type CD.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to pay for that privilege, obviously, because if you try to cash it in, there's going to be penalties that are fairly serious.
Just like CDs.
Exactly. So we're going to talk a lot more about that and everything else. If anybody is really interested in getting a real straight answer to an annuity question, 904-222-8255 is the number. We will hit many, many more topics. Fixed versus variable. What are all these crazy things that seem to guarantee everybody's success in the market? And you see a lot of the commercials, I'm out of the market for good now. And you look at these things and say, oh my God. Plus, the other big topic that I think is more crucial as time goes on due to the number you gave earlier, and that's age. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
I'm Stan the Annuity Man. Sitting in the chair.
Yeah, how about that? Again, Adam is joining us remotely from Marathon Key, and I might add to this one, at least from my standpoint, really good connection.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, we always like that. All right, I'll repeat the trivia question. Quick, I guess, summary. Market cap refers to basically the value of, whether it's a company, the share value times the number of shares. The market cap of the entire market is just that, including all the stocks. What percentage of the world's market cap is represented by the U.S. market? I'll give you another hint because we're in the second half. Pretty substantial. So, and again, that can be just a guess. All right, we're talking about annuities. And one of my biggest bugaboos, I guess, with annuities is that they're sold through, what's a polite word, misrepresentations?
That's polite. If you ever wondered where the timeshare salesman that got fired go, they sell indexed annuities. That's where they head, because it's a very good story, but only half of the story that's told is true. And the pitch is, and you've probably heard it, if you live in Jacksonville, you've heard it, because there's a bunch of people that,
oh, yeah,
you know, if you have a sprained ankle, they're going to suggest an indexed annuity. I mean, that's all they sell. They won't listen to you. Oh, yeah, okay, you need an index annuity.
That goes back to that old thing we've always said, the answer is annuity. What is your question?
Exactly. And you'll hear market upside with no downside. There's only one part of that's true, and it's the no downside part.
Right.
Index annuities are fixed annuities. They're not securities. They're sold at the state level and regulated at the state level. And the people that are saying market upside with no downside don't have the licensure to say that. It's illegal. So when they talk about markets, they don't have Series 7s, most of these people. These are fixed annuities, and they create CD returns. And if you look back when they started in 1995 to now in the raging bull market, the average rate of return is a little bit less than 4%. But that's not guaranteed.
No.
Period.
But the clever insurance people have this thing called an illustration.
Juice the numbers.
Exactly. You can make something say whatever you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to the 10% annuity return.
It's garbage.
It is.
It's you know, when they say, well, if you'd owned it 10 years ago, well, if you've done sit-ups every day for 10 years, you'd have a six-pack abs, but you didn't do that. You cannot look back and say, well, if you'd owned it then, especially now. What's happening in the annuity industry now is even more heinous. They're running algorithms to find a return with a basket of stocks, and then they're naming that out of midair. So they'll have an index you've never heard of. They just created it, and then they said, if you'd owned it 10 years ago, and my question is, wait a minute, it was created last month, so there's no way to own it 10 years ago, but that's the newest thing that they're doing. So it's not just the S&P. There's indices that you've never heard of, and in some states, they're trying to make that illegal. I'm part of that. I'm trying to make that illegal. I'm trying to make back testing and back illustrations illegal. They should be, because there's a lot of shenanigans going out there. And if it sounds too good to be true, just remember with annuities, it is every single time. There's not an exception.
Mm-hmm. It was just had something cross in my mind that was kind of, oh, I know. It was the ad about piggybacking off of the Canadian Social Security system.
Joke.
You don't even have to live in Canada. And that one, folks, it was nothing more than somebody dove into the Canadian Social Security system and looked at all the high dividend paying stocks that they owned. They made an index out of it,
mm-hmm,
and said, you can piggyback off the Social Security system without even being a Canadian or without working there. Wow, what a deal. Why are so many of these guys out of Southeast Florida?
It's just a hotbed. It is, unfortunately. But I think that the index annuity space, If they keep going in the direction they're going to be regulated heavily, and they should.
I have rendered several opinions to several authorities on that very issue over the past 15 years or so I've been mm-hmm. following them.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to think back when you and I first talked,
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember if that was the issue or not, but it might have been because these things were pretty new, and I was hearing some claims. We got talking about it on the prior radio show several years ago, and a guy called in and gave us his name, and we were, you know, hairs go up in the back of the neck, mm-hmm. oh, an annuity salesman gonna right. chime in to try to get some business.
Well, that's when I called in a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That
10,
was,
15
that
years.
That was. And things have changed a lot in the annuity business. You know, obviously we're a direct consumer model now, which is mm-hmm. which is unique and different. And I just think annuities are commodity products. There's not one best. Everyone says, Stan, which is the best annuity? Well, you have to answer the two questions. Obviously, what do you want the money contractually to do, and when do you want those contractual guarantees to start? But think about buying an annuity like buying a plane ticket. Okay, you don't go in saying, I just want to buy this from this carrier. You look for the best deal. And it's the same thing with annuities. And quotes are like a gallon of milk. They expire every 7 to 10 days unless you lock them in through the application process. But there is no best annuity. The best annuity is the one that provides the highest contractual guarantee for your situation.
That makes sense. I suppose while we're on this topic, most people are not familiar with the rating systems. Most people mm-hmm. have heard of Moody's and Standard & Poor's. But you have something on your site called Comdex.
Yeah, Comdex. There's four rating services, AM Best, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch. And then I have something on my site called Comdex, which you can get for free, which is a compilation of all four of those rating services, but an easy-to-understand 1 to 100 score, 100 being best, meaning safest, financially secure, all the way down. And we list all the carriers in the country, which is hundreds, you know, 400.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of good companies out there with good claims paying ability, not just the ones you see run ads on TV.
Do you have a rule of thumb? Don't go below Comdex rating?
It really depends. You know, with my background, you know, I used to be on your side of the mm-hmm. table, as you know, working for the big firms. You know, I do look at their bond holdings, their solvency ratios, and things like that. So I don't have a specific score, but if you really look at 80 and above for the immediate annuities and those type of lifetime income annuities, you're not going to go wrong. On a Comdex score, but it's something that we just give away for free. I pay a lot of money for it because I think people just need to be informed on what they're buying.
And that's on theannuityman.com?
Theannuityman.com.
Another one I went to this morning, thinking about you coming in today, mm-hmm. was annuitiesdirect.com, which is something that I believe you started, right?
I did start it. You know, what we've done is we've kind of close that, and now if you type that in, it'll go to theannuityman.com, so it's just one site now. Just to make it a little bit more easy for the consumer. And like I said, one of the things we're most proud of and I'm proud of is creating a system that you can run your own quotes. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can run it 24/7. We've coordinated with all the carriers to have a live feed of the best rates for your specific situation. It's confidential, and I just think that's a pro customer. We're not going to ask you to no one's going to call you or show up your doorstep or anything like that. You know, we just think that people need to be informed and run the numbers. Just remember that when you're running lifetime income numbers, it's primarily based on your life expectancy or expectancies if it's joint at the time you start the payment.
Okay, and I've got about 200 topics here, and I want to
go quick. Go quickly.
Yeah, I'm kind of holding back the fourth segment of the show
okay.
to talk about the topic of long-term care because mm-hmm. it's so difficult, and we were discussing in the last break how important it is. But I also wanted to touch on the guarantees since we're talking about Comdex. Mm-hmm. Every state has a guarantee of some sort which covers at least something, right?
Mm-hmm. It's called a state guarantee fund. Now, you have to understand that it's not FDIC. If any agent or advisor says it's like that, it's not. It is coverage. It's a nice little safety blanket. It's never been tested. And this is a very important point. It is illegal for an advisor and agent to use it in a sales pitch.
Is that right?
Correct. They cannot bring it up.
Over there.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to the show, you're not the only people who learn something. What can I say? The overall risk analysis is it would probably be incomplete without an inflation discussion too.
Mm-hmm.
How expensive are inflation riders?
Very, very. Annuity companies have the big buildings for a reason. As I said, you can attach cost of living adjustment increases, which sounds good. Understand you already own the best inflation annuity on the planet, which is Social Security. We can quote those inflation riders, but typically it's a 7 to 9 year break even point from the same exact annuity that does not have the inflation increase.
Good boy.
Yep.
You came up to me many years ago with what I consider a fantastic alternative to that. And I was familiar, because of the business I'm in, with a concept called laddering bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan said one day to me, well, how about laddered annuities? And I thought, I've never heard of that. But the more I thought about it, the more it makes sense. One way to handle a low interest rate environment is to anticipate rates going up, since they really can't go down any further, and do something about it by buying one every year for 5 years or something like that. So it's another concept that we can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Got to take another break. It's flying by. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
I'm Stan the Annuity Man.
All right, Stan, I promised we were going to hold my favorite topic regarding annuities till the fourth quarter, and guess what? We're here.
Jump in.
But I do want to say, and you have already hit this topic, people like Adam, like me, who deal in the fee-only mm-hmm. financial services, we have a reputation of hating annuities,
mm-hmm.
and that is not true. We hate annuity salespeople who are very unethical and make promises they can't keep. That's different.
Well, the annuity industry has a bad reputation for a reason.
It does. Well earned. Good morning, Edward.
Yes, good morning. This call is kind of directed at Stan the Annuity Man there.
No problem. That's what he's here for.
I retired approximately 5 years ago, and I put money into an annuity that through Ben Core, and I don't even know if they're even in business or not, but the agent, Danny Gay, I cannot contact him. I've been trying to get through to him, and I understand that he's working for somebody else, and he's out of town, and I'd really like to transfer my money over to someone like Stan the Annuity Man, and if he has any questions, I'm open to try to get
mentioned. Here's what I'd recommend you do. Go to my site, theannuityman.com. There's at the top, you can schedule a call with me, and I'll call you right on the money. And let's just talk about it. We'll see if we can help you. I'm sure we can. But there's a lot of agents that come and go in the business. So yeah, just go to theannuityman.com. At the very top, it's schedule call, and then we can connect, and I can help you.
Perfect.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You want to take a shot at the trivia before you go?
No, that's okay. I've been listening off and on, just been fiddling around the house here, so
okay.
I didn't keep up with it. But thank you, sir.
All right,
appreciate it.
Stan will help you on your own time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
All right, we appreciate calls like that. And if it's as simple as we'll talk privately, that's
mm-hmm.
great.
Yeah.
All right, long-term care. At the beginning of the show, Stan was saying that there's about 10,000 people that turn 65, 432 every day. Baby boomers are aging, and a lot of us, thank God, are living long enough.
It's a demographic tidal wave.
It really is.
It really is.
And there is no way in society for another 10 or 20 years that we're going to keep up with the payments into the systems that are going to provide this stuff, because it was based on, I don't like to use the term Ponzi system, it was based on growing populations, which we barely have, and that's only because of immigration. And most of the world is actually going the other way. So everybody's in the same boat. A lot of people believe that a lot of things are long-term care insurance, and they are wrong. There is one thing that is long-term care insurance, and that's called, like it or not, long-term care insurance.
Exactly.
And it costs an arm and a leg, and it always has, and it's going up because the costs are coming in now, which they hadn't before, and they're coming in much higher than expected, partly because older people are living longer and partly because the inflation in the medical industries are rampant. So if you can't afford long-term care, first off, you might not need it, but I'm not talking to a whole bunch of people qualified. Hang on one sec. Good morning, Al.
Yes, I had a question about TIPS.
Yeah.
Treasury. seem like they have been losing value in the last month.
Yeah, there's partly a reason for that. They've paid out about 84 cents in the tip in dividends, and the price always falls just a little bit to reflect that. But what's happening out there is inflation.
Well, I thought the tips were supposed to kind of counteract that, and you would gain on a capital basis.
You are exactly right. In fact, I wrote a white paper on it about 6 or 8 months ago, saying I don't think it's a good time for tips. And it seems to me that the average investor in such things ignored me because tips went on to reach a new high after that. I am composing right now and have submitted it to Adam for review and watching that says it's time to get back in. But we're not doing it until they fall down to where we think they should have been. Instead of a payout or value or inflation hedge, it seems that the market is treating these things as something else. And it's risk-off, I think, because it's a U.S. Treasury product. It's been very popular. Now, as stocks resume their upward march and get more popular, I'm expecting tips to fall back a bit, and then I want to pounce on them because I think inflation is here for a while.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. Okay.
Just don't jump yet, I think.
So I'm just going to take a loss. I'm not going to sell. I'll just take a loss on the capital basis.
Yeah, meanwhile.
Let it go down, and then maybe it'll settle down at... Yeah.
4 out of 6 months this year, they didn't pay. They've paid nicely the last 2 weeks, or 2 months, I mean, and I think they'll continue to do so because you can't hide inflation that's rampant as it is right now.
Right. That's my feeling. Skipped dividends for, what, about 6 months?
Yeah. They did it before in one of the other slack periods like this, but I think it's all caught up now and should be mostly decent payouts from here on.
Okay.
So I think you're on the right track.
Okay.
You want to take a shot at the trivia question?
No, I didn't hear the what's the trivia question?
The percentage of the world stock market that is represented by the U.S. market.
I'm going to take a guess.
Sure.
I'm going to say probably the world stock market, that would be the East. I'm going to say probably 60%.
It's a little too high, but not a bad guess.
Yeah, okay.
We appreciate it.
Okay,
have a good weekend.
Thank you much.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you.
Anyway, the answer to people who quite literally cannot afford it, now, if you're worth about $3 million or more, don't even bother. You just self-insure. But the people who need it and can't afford long-term care insurance, Stan has some options.
Mm-hmm.
They're not long-term care insurance policies, but you can explain it from there, what they are.
First of all, if you have long-term care, keep it. If you can, do not let an agent convince you to sell it. It's the best coverage. It's a health insurance product. But there are some annuity types that provide confinement care or enhanced benefit payouts. In essence, in the South, we'd say if you get sicker, you get your money back quicker. So what happens with these products, they're guaranteed issue. You don't have to go through any type of underwriting, which will tell you that it's not as good as the long-term care that you need to get underwriting for. But you can get long-term care, confinement care coverage.
Good morning, Larry.
Quick guess, gentlemen, 48%.
You're a little too high.
Okay.
Another good guess, though.
Well, if you want to stay healthy, eat that Georgia ice cream.
Great. All right. Thanks so much.
Bye.
You're closing in, though.
So long-term care, you can get coverage, but in a perfect world with annuities, long-term care should be secondary coverage with annuities, not primary care.
Uh-huh.
Primary coverage, because anytime anything is guaranteed issue, it's not as good as if it's underwritten.
Okay, and what do they actually do?
The long-term care coverage?
Yeah.
In essence, what they do is if you bought these type of products, there's an income guarantee. Let's just say it's $2,000 a month. If you qualify for the enhanced payment, it will go up to $4,000 a month, and typically they'll do that for 5 years. Why is it 5 years? Because when you can't do the 2 out of 6 daily functions of life, which is feed yourself and clothe yourself, you're going to live an average of 3 years and a maximum of 7 on average. Okay?
So they're just playing the odds.
They're just playing the odds, and they're just going to give your money back quicker because, in essence, what you're proving to the life insurance company, i.e. annuity company, is that your life expectancy is less. So they're going to accelerate the payments.
All right, and in lieu of getting sick and needing benefits, they just term out at whatever benefit level or payout or whatever. In other words, they're just regular annuities?
They're typically what's called income riders. And if you go to the Bad Chicken Dinner seminars, I'm hoping those go away with COVID, they're going to talk about income riders, and they're going to tell you things like 7% or 8% return, which isn't real. That's an income rider. But an income rider is a future benefit, pension benefit, that you can turn on the income stream at a future date. Attached to some of those riders are these confinement care benefits that the income stream will double. I know that I've... Going a little fast here, I have written a book that you can get for free on my site on income riders that fully explains it. But it, just remember this, if you can't qualify for long-term care, if you're smoking 12 packs of cigarettes a day, you can get coverage.
Yeah, okay. That makes
guaranteed
sense to me. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, the music is playing. We could do this forever. Stan and I have chatted about these things on and off for many years. And in fact, I'm going to go back and reread the book on the income riders. Mm-hmm. I think that's... not only interesting, but important. But it does remind me of something that Will Rogers said. It is more important to worry about the return of my money than on my money. And it's kind of almost reverse like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The U.S. market before Trump was 36.5% of the world. It is now 40.95% of the world's market. Things are good. Can you imagine that? You know, everybody says we got 5% of the population and all that crap. Well, we're not too bad. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Don't forget the annuityman.com. We'll see you then.